Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Singing this song. It was a song that I wrote, probably over 40 years ago, I guess. I was leaving out of a church service in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We were in the church, and it was just a wonderful time, and I was riding with the campus pastor at that time, and his wife, and I was sitting in the back seat, and as we were going through the city, we passed a bar, and all of a sudden, a fight broke out, and we kept riding, and one of the persons in the car remarks, oh, that's a shame, they in that fight, they ought to be in church, and I thought that, and I said, but who's gonna tell them Jesus loves them? Who's gonna tell them there's a better way? Who's gonna warn them of the things coming on them so God can turn their nights to day? I'm gonna say it again. Who's gonna tell him Jesus loves him? Who's gonna tell him who's gonna warn them of the things coming on them so God can turn their night to day? Somebody's gotta warn them. Somebody's gotta tell them. Would you help me say somebody? Oh, yeah, somebody gotta tell me. So I wanna ask you, wherever you are, who's gonna tell you? Thank you.
I'm gonna get you, Ruach Elohim, Ruach Elohim. Lord, we ask you to clear the phlegm from the lungs and from the throat, from the nostrils. Lord, we ask you to heal kidneys today. Heal livers, pancreas. Lord, heal pancreatic cancer today. All those that are suffering with some form of cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, throat cancer, breast cancer, whatever, brain cancer, Lord, we ask you to heal today, Lord. Somebody's waiting for a word from you, a touch from you today, Lord, we ask you to heal. And Father, as we go into this message today, we ask you to speak through us. We are not going to be long because we are very tired. We had to get up very early this morning, and our bodies are tired. So we are asking, Lord Jesus, to use us to deliver this message today and help your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Father, for Bishop James Washington, Apostle Linda Washington, we pray for Apostle Millie Jefferson, and for all those that are sick, Lord, we ask you to strengthen today. Lord, we know that Bishop is going through in and out, but we know, God, that he's in and out with you, that you are never leaving him or forsaking him. So when he go out, you are there. When he come in, you are there. You are everywhere. We thank you, Lord Jesus. This word is the last part of this series that I'm doing, part four, Eternal Tree of Hope. And we want to give you the first scripture here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, and then we are going to, go to Psalm 146 and Jeremiah chapter 17. Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And the Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 17, thank you, Brother Deacon, verse 7 and verse 8, he said, But blessed is the man who trusts in me, God, the woman who sticks with God. They are like trees planted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers, never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season. Hallelujah, glory to God. Let me read that again. Blessed is the man who trusts in me, God, the woman who sticks with God. They are like trees planted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers. Never a worry through the hottest of summers. Never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season. Now, we go back to Psalm 1. We go back to Psalm 1, and you will see what Jeremiah is quoting here, the psalm. And he is telling you that if you are connected to the source of life, you wouldn't have to worry. He says, they're serene and calm through drugs. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, when you walk in with God, you're not going to sit down in these places. You're not going to be hanging out with these folk that, because I went to school with this sister, this buddy, and brother, that buddy, and you hanging up with them because you grew up in the same neighborhood with them. No, you know they're still dipping and dabbing in witchcraft. You know they're still dipping and dabbing with alcohol and drugs and womanizing and fornicating and committing adultery and stealing and gang banging. All you're not supposed to. You're supposed to pray for them from your home, from the church building, from your car, or wherever you are. You're supposed to intercede for them. but you're not supposed to sit down. He told you that because why? You are blessed. You are anointed. You are appointed. You are approved. You are God's child. You are God's chosen vessel. So you have to walk like a chosen vessel. You got to live like a chosen vessel. You can't say, well, I am sanctified. I'm Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. I speak in tongues. And yet still you're acting like somebody that's in the world. No, it didn't work. But we find a lot of people do that. You know, they want to be, they want to still stay connected. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, and let's look at a scripture over here. Jeremiah 15, and let's look at verse 17. And I'm coming out the Message Bible. I never joined the party crowd in their laughter and their fun led by you. I went off by myself. You'd fill me with indignation. Their sin had me seeing. Their sin had me seeking. So Jeremiah said now, because that he is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a born-again believer. He is a chosen vessel. God said he knew Jeremiah before he was in his mother's womb. So Jeremiah said, look, God has never allowed him to be in the crowd. I always say, don't follow the crowd, follow the cloud. He said, you'll never let me join the party crowd in their laughter and their fun. It seemed like they're having fun. But you ever notice that the folk, they be smoking, they're hemping, and their blunts and all that stuff, and it seems like they're having fun. And a flash of a twinkle of an eye, they start shooting one another. They're not really having fun. It's a make-believe. But when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, but we know that we are filled with happiness, something happened on the inside, we have this joy unspeakable, full of glory. Hallelujah. We don't have to do anything. We are filled. Let's go over here to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go over here and pull up a scripture. And still in the Message Bible. Proverbs chapter 4. And see what the Lord is saying. Proverbs chapter 4. And let's pull up verse 14. You can't go wrong with the word of God. Verse 14. And Proverbs, it's give me 14. Let me see this. Proverbs, I put 14, but let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Good. And pull up verse 14. Don't take wicked bypass. Don't so much as set foot on that road. You hear what he says? What did he say in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And he told you here now in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. He says, don't take wicked bypass. In other words, don't take the shortcut with the wicked. It looks like a way to get you where you're going, but don't go. You know, wicked people, they always say, well, if I sell dope, if I steal, if I break into people's homes, if I break the store window and go in and I take up the jewelry and I take the clothes and I take the guns and stuff and that, I'll do all right. But in the long run, eventually, they get caught. They get caught. And they end up spending long time, if not a lifetime, spend a long time in prison. And sometimes they get shoot down by the police or by whoever the store owner is. But let's go ahead to Psalm 149. And this may be the Amplified. I can't remember the Amplified. But either way, let's go into Psalm 146. It said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have any being. In other words, The songwriter is saying that he's going to praise the Lord. He's going to give the Lord a hallelujah praise. I hear Deacon Fraser from time to time, he say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Other people do. It's the highest praise that you can give to your to the Savior. Hallelujah praise. But a lot of people don't give him a hallelujah praise. Don't give him thank you. They don't even give him a thank you, Jesus. They don't even give him a thank you, Jesus praise, because they feel that they're all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. He says here, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no help. People sometimes they have a boss, they have a supervisor, or they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a wife or whatever. They will put more trust in that person than they will put in God. They say, well, I can see that person, but I can't see God. This is the way that they use their analogy. Say, well, I can see them. They come by and they bring me stuff and they do this to me and do that for me. I can't never see God. But guess what? God is always there. You know what? He says, I stick closer than a brother. I stick closer than a brother. This is the God that we serve. But people don't want to. They don't want to stick with God. They want to run around and take on everything that they can see. God sticks with us regardless of where we're going, what we are doing. He's always there. Even when we forsake him and we go and do our own thing. Job says, but there is a spirit within people, the breath of the Almighty within them, that makes them intelligent. See, the spirit that's inside of us, those of us that are saved and sanctified, he's the one that keeps us. He's the one that gives us. He's the one that causes us to walk with integrity. You understand? He's the one that gives us the character that pleases him when we follow his instructions. This is Job chapter 32, verse 8. In the book of Psalms, back to the book of Psalms, chapter 146. The psalmist says, when his breath leaves him, talking about the man, when you trust in a man or trust in a woman, when his breath leaves him, that when he died or crossed over, as we said, he returns to his earth, to the dust. In that very day, his thoughts, plans, and purposes perish with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Well, let's go and read this from verse 1. And I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you that the testimony of God. In other words, Paul is saying here that when he come, he didn't come with all of these elaborate words like you see some of these preachers. They want to preach and they want to use all these words from the dictionary. They use the Greek and they use the Hebrew and they use all this stuff to tell you straight up, I'm Dr. So-and-so. And I've been preaching for 45 years and all this stuff. And I can sing. I wrote all of these books and I got all these CDs to try to be impressive. But and at the same time, God, the great God of heaven and earth, is looking at them and he is seeing that, yes, they have written books and they have made CDs and all this stuff. But their lifestyle, they're not living for God. Their lifestyle does not glorify God. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Also, look, I don't come trying to impress you. All I am trying to do is tell you about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I don't want to tell you anything else. Because if I tell you about me, if I tell you about my degrees, if I tell you about all the stuff that I have, it's not going to lead you to eternal life. But I got to point you to the one who can take you in. Jesus has the keys to heaven and hell. He's going to lead you in when you're convicted by the word. And you say, well, my God, I've been doing all this stuff. The man, God was talking about, the woman was talking about. That's the way I've been living. The first time I get convicted and say, look, I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to turn my life around. Because you got to make them know that it's not just saying I repent. Because a lot of people say, I repent, Pastor. But then they do keep on doing the same thing over and over and over. And repentance means that you have to turn. You have to quit the lifestyle that you've been living and start to live a new life that Christ is putting into your heart. Start to live the life so that you're not just talking, but you're walking it. Hallelujah. You're walking, your talk has to line up. All walking, our talk has to line up. You know, we as preachers, we can't just preach this word, and you know. Once you preach it, the devil is standing right there at the door. As soon as you get off that pulpit from behind that the podium, the devil is right there getting ready to test you. See if you're going to really hold fast to your confession. You know, okay? So Paul says, he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. We're talking today about the eternal tree of hope. And Paul said, he says, and my speech and my preaching was not without enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, the way Paul was releasing the word, he was anointed and he was appointed to do the will of God. You know, a lot of times we're not seeking, most preachers are not seeking to do the will of God. They're trying to do something, say something, act something so that they can make money. Paul was operating in the full anointing as an apostle. You remember one time he was preaching in the book of Acts and the young man was in the window sitting upstairs on the loft, listening to him. And he dozed off his seat and fell out and hit the pavement, cracked his skull, dead. And they tell Paul went outside and just laid hands on the young man, prayed for him, and the man came back to life. The young man came back to life. He was operating in the power of God. This is what we ought to be striving for. Paul did not make a whole bunch of speeches, but he was demonstrating the power of God that was flowing through him. He was using the word of God. It's the word of God that has the anointing, the power on it to do miracles. You want to tell people, you know, I just bought a new Cadillac. I just bought a new Mercedes-Benz. I just got a new Bentley. And I got a Ferrari. And I got a Rolls Royce. And I just bought a house in Hawaii. And I got a house in the Caribbean. And I got a house in Brazil. You know, you understand what I'm trying to say. We are very, very puffed up. Most preachers are very puffed up. They want to tell you about how many planes they have. They got their own airport and all this kind of stuff. And they go on Oprah Winfrey and they go on all the different shows and they talk that stuff about the stuff they have. You know, they like to be boastful, but they're not living for Christ. Christ wants us to live for him. He wants us to live in a way that the gospel shines through us. We begin to glow. And then people look at us, they can say, well, that's a woman of God. That's a man of God. Because, right, the light of the gospel is shining through us. And people look at you and say, well, something different about you. I don't know what it is. They say, I'm looking at you this morning, Pastor, something different about you. I was just in the hospital, and they were doing all this testing my heart and x-rays and all this stuff. I had to go on the treadmill and do a stress test and all that stuff. And they put some dye inside my veins so they could see my heart and all the arteries can show up and they can see if there's blockage and all that kind of stuff. And there's people, these are all Caucasian people. And a lady, a nurse brought me water. She said, you want some water? I didn't really want the water. She brought me a bottle of water. She said, you want to go to the bathroom? I said, no, I'm fine. I just want this thing to be over with. That's what I was saying in my mind. I want the test to be over so I can go home and turn on Block Talk Radio. And then they had to put me in, do the x-rays over my chest. I got to go back to take some more pictures tomorrow, take some more pictures of my heart when I'm not stressing, you know. Yet today they took the pictures on the stress. Now tomorrow they're going to take pictures when I'm not stressing. But, you know, they treat me well. They treat me well and respected me. But this is what the anointing does. You don't have to go in there and act like a hooligan. When happens, you know, you go in there, you release peace, you get back peace. You release respect, you get back respect. You know, a lot of people get bent out of shape easy. Don't get bent out of shape. My pastor told me years ago, if you remain flexible, You'll never get bent out of shape easily. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go back into this word. Glory to God. We're still teaching the word. We don't have a crowd of people on here today, but we're still teaching the word. It said, pause to verse 5, says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, what Paul is operating, he's demonstrating the power by the Spirit of God. He's demonstrating the power of God before the congregation. They can see that he's operating under the anointing, so that the people are not really focusing on believing or watching him, but they're focusing on the Spirit that's working through him. Hallelujah. They realize that he is anointed. You know, he's not working witchcraft. He's not working juju. He's teaching the word of God to them that Jesus gave to him. He is filled with the Spirit of God. We ought to be asking God to fill me up. Like the singer was just singing, Ruach Elohim, which means Spirit of the Lord. Fill this place. Not only the place, not only the building, but our hearts, fill our souls. Transform me, renew me, restore me, strengthen me. This is what I want the Spirit of the Lord to do for us. Continue to strengthen us so that we can do a better job in this earthly realm. Hallelujah. Paul says, he went on and says, verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, but that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, God ordained this. God has, before we even was in our mother's womb. Remember, he told Jeremiah, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. Hallelujah. He ordained us. He knew that I was going to be in a crack house. He knew I was going to be in a whore house. But he knew I also would end up in God's house. He knew I would end up in God's house. He knew we would end up in God's house. He knew all the stuff that we were going to do before we even do it. Before we have done it. He knew all the things that we were going to do. Because the Bible said he knows the end before the beginning. So I said, I know some people say, I wish I didn't have to go through all that stuff. I wish I could have just come on in and be doing what God called me to do. No, you had to go through all the stuff. See, you're born in sin. There's sin nature in you, right? And you had to go and work that stuff out. That stuff had to come out of you. Get out of you. Hallelujah. So you can be who God called to be. He says, verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for them that love him. See, we go through so much. We do so much. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. All we have to do is get connected and stay connected. The Bible says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. See, a lot of things, all the things that are revealed to us is revealed by the Spirit. A lot of times we are looking at the Word, we don't even understand what the Word was saying before we start to teach it and preach it. But while we are teaching it, God is revealing this. He's giving us understanding. He's giving us clarification. He's giving us revelation of the Word. Hallelujah, because we have studied. We have meditated on the Word. No. He says, no, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and because that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, now when we are studying, God begins to reveal everything to us. He begins to give us the understanding of the Word. A lot of people, I was in the church back in back in Virginia in the building, church building. And a lady, she come to me. I was teaching. And she said, Pastor, I've been reading my Bible for so long. She said, but I can't understand what it's saying. So I told her, I said, have you ever thought about inviting the Holy Spirit when you pick up the Bible? She said, no, I never thought about that. I said, well, he's there to help you. He's a teacher. The Bible says so. And when you open that Bible, ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ to come and help me as I study this word of God. Give me clear understanding that when I speak to someone concerning the word, I'll be able to deliver the words that they can understand. And the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. Let's go a little further. I'm going to finish this up. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, talking about God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who have known the mind of God? Can you go and correct God and tell God what to do? Or what he's done is wrong or right? No, because you don't know. Listen, back here in Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he who hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Genesis 32 and 30. Here, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth and is faithful forever, see? Now, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Who have God of Jacob, who hope is in the Lord his God. When you trust God and depend on God, see, you're going through all kind of stuff. I was sitting in that bed in the hospital. I was sitting in that bed in there, and they were setting up all these things, putting all this stuff on me like Star Trek. And I was sitting there praying in my mind. And I know that for the last few days I've been having this pain on the side of my heart. And when I went through the stress test, I feel some pain. And then when I stopped, all the pain just went away. See, we got to have faith. We have to trust in God. The word says that. Trust in him. It is written, by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are made whole. Hallelujah. No weapons form against us to prosper. Weapons are going to fall. They're going to form, but they're not going to prosper. His word healed us. Can we claim the word over our life today? He sent his word, and his word healed our disease and freed us from our destructions. 107, Psalm 107, verse 20. Can we claim these scriptures over our life? He said, who executes judgment for the oppressed? Who gives food? Listen. Who gives food to the hungry? The Lord sets free the prisoners. Okay? The Lord opens up the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the uncompromisingly righteous. Those upright in heart and in right standing with him. Chapter 13, verse 13. John chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 32. All these are good scriptures. All the scriptures are good, but this is one that you can really keep inside your head. The Lord protects and preserves the strangers and temporary residents. He upholds the fatherless and the widow and set them upright. But the way of the wicked he makes crooked, turn upside down, and brings to ruin. The Lord shall reign forever, even your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us go over to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Verse 22. Book of Revelation, verse 22. And let us start. Let's see where we are. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse 14. Blessed, happy to be envied, are those who cleanse their garments, that they may have the authority and right to approach the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city. Listen what he says. We have to be cleansed. Cleansed from the inside out. Not a new suit, not a new dress, not a new wig, but we need to be cleansed from the inside. Spiritually cleansed. No, most people go to the house of the Lord and they can't go till they go to the hairdresser. They can't go till they go to the barbershop. You know what I'm saying? They got to get this suit from the tailor or from the laundromat, the dress. They have to have their shoes right. Everything got to be just right. And God is not looking at that stuff. What he's looking at is your heart. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, and out of the ground, well, let's go up to. Let's go up to verse 6. But there went up a mist from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9 says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. For the tree of life also, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Let's go back to, let us go up to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. We got to get this thing. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Jesus is speaking here. The book is in red. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He who have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit of God is speaking to us every day here on Blog Talk Radio. Yesterday, Apostle was preaching a powerful message. I came in there with my grand, called him, woke me up. I was so tired, I fell asleep. After Pastor Bishop James did the prayer of salvation, I fell asleep. I woke up, though. She woke me up. She called out. I heard a voice, and I got up. And came in and make my release what the Lord had given me. Let us go to Glory to God. Let's see where we at here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's work this scripture here. Romans. This is going to be the last scripture I'm going to give you today, though, because I am very, very, very tired. Romans chapter 8. And hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just want to bless the Lord. Let's start at verse 10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's start at verse 6. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises of all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul, peace, both now and forever. No. See, he's saying to us that when we operate in the flesh, that we operate in this operation on leading of the flesh leads to death. But when we're being led by the Spirit of God, we are led to life everlasting. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. You see the people in the world and you look at them, we're not judgmental. But you see, they believe that they're having a good time and they tell you that we don't want to have this Jesus stuff. We're not interested in it. We're having a good time. They tell you that they got a good job. They say, I got a husband, I got a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and we are doing fine. Realizing that they're not doing fine. They're missing out on the blessed hope of God. Verse 8 says, so then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. See, we have to live an acceptable life to God. We have to live a life that God will accept. Hallelujah. He says in Romans chapter 12 that we got to, he says, we have to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is saying this to us. We must become a living sacrifice. In other words, we must submit and commit to God's way. To God's way. Not my way. You know, people tell us, it's not my way. I judge it as my way or the highway. But God is not saying that. God has given us a choice that we can choose to go his way or not go his way. The person that's going to lose is us, not God. God is already victorious. We have to become victorious in him by obeying his laws and following his statutes, his commandments. This is how we become victorious in him. He already paid the ultimate price for us at the cross. He laid down his life for us so that we can be lifted up. Now he says, but you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. Is not truly a child of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. But, verse 10 of Romans chapter 8. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes in to us. Verse 11, and if the Spirit himself who raises Christ or Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually put into death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by your body, you shall really and generally live forever. See, the flesh is going to tease us, test us every day, want us to do what it wants to do. I remember when I was back in Virginia, Washington metropolitan area, and there was times that I tell myself that I wasn't going to get high. I have to tell myself, man, I ain't going to get high. No longer will I get high. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to smoke no coke. I'm not going up with no women. I'm not doing that this stuff. But as soon as I did a big job or I got a check, I got in my car. You know what I used to say? I said I didn't want to go to the drug man. I didn't want to go to the drug man, but I didn't want to go to the liquor store, but the truck drove me there. I used to tell that lie. I used to try to make myself believe that the truck would lead me, the truck lead me to the mean, to get drugs. But it was me. I had that desire. I had that hunger that could only be quenched by drugs. And I used to find myself going down to that place. But the Lord delivered me from all that stuff, all that stuff. You know, when you submit and you truly commit to him, he will take away the thing that tried to take you away from him. Here, listen what he says. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear. But you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. That we got is not, didn't come to us to put us back in slavery. He delivered us from the bondage of sin. And now we are supposed to live freely to righteousness or holiness. This is what he's saying. He gives us a choice that we can choose if we want to live holy, righteous, or if we want to slip, I call it slipping dip. Put one foot in and one foot out. One day we want to be with the church folk. Next day we want to go to the cabaret. We want to go to carnival. We want to go to the nightclub. We want to go to the all-you-can-eat where the people are acting a fool. Not all-you-can-eat act like that, but some places they have those big parties that all-you-can-eat. I know when we used to work for a company, on some weekends the boss man used to say, let's go down there, and they give us a whole room. And the people that drink, they had the gin, they had the vodka, they had the beer. All this stuff was on the table. We had tables that were set up for us. And all we would do is pay tips, but the boss paid for all the stuff. But here in this chapter 8 of Romans, as we're talking about the eternal tree of hope. Once we have taken on the Spirit of God, change starts to take place. Now the change, we have to allow the change to continue. And how do we do that? We got to stay in the Word of God. We say that the other day, we got to stay connected to the tree because we're the branches. And a lot of purging take place, while we are waiting, while we are going, while we are walking. A lot of purging take place. That's why we are repenting every single day. Because it's purging. Every time that you say, well, oh, the Lord delivered me from this, delivered me from that. Guess what? There's something that the Lord going to show you. Maybe attitude. You got a stinking attitude. You act all nice when you're in the church building, but when you get to the church building, oh, you cut up like a fox. And God will show you that part of your life that needs to be fixed. And then he'll put some people in your life that will test you, that you have to humble yourself so you can get over. You don't hear me here talking all the time on Blog Talk Radio, but people do this. A lot of people do this stuff to me, but I don't talk about that stuff no more because I'm over that. I passed that realm. I'm in a different dilemma, different dimension. You know, we're past that stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, something I learned last night that, and you know, as I was listening to it, it just blessed my heart. Because you hear the people saying now, the big thing that you're hearing on YouTube now is that all of these musicians and a lot of these movie stars, they're dying fast. You know, when you go in there, you see all these different people that are dying at 60 years old, 59 years old, 45 years old in Hollywood. They're dying. But the thing says that, they say that, they tell the people that they sell their soul. This boy, young boy, who was, I think he was one of this, he was, what do you call him, girl from Barbados, Rihanna. You should date Rihanna. He liked to fight with her. But she leave him. She got a nice husband now. She's a billionaire. And mother, he says he sell his soul to the devil. But then the preacher was saying last night, make some sense to me. You can't sell something that don't belong to you. He can submit to the devil, but you can't sell something that don't belong to you. You know, well, you know, and people say they sell their soul. And I thought about it because the Bible said that all souls belongs to God. God said that all souls belongs to him, the soul of the Father and the soul of the Son, in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. He said all souls, but he said about the soul that sinner shall die. So you can't, according to the word of God, no man can sell his soul to the devil because he don't have a soul to sell. It belongs to the Lord. But he can submit his life, his lifestyle, and everything to live in a devilish way or living for the devil. But anyway, that's another story. But I was listening to that, and that's, I had to go back and look at the word, and it makes sense. It makes sense. Nobody can go sell my car. The bank can't sell my car. I don't belong to the bank. It belongs to me. It's completely paid off. You see what I'm saying? I can sell it, but the bank can't sell it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here in this book of Romans chapter 8, we want to work this thing, and then we're going to stop. Because I had to get up real early this morning to go and have all this test done. And got to go back again tomorrow now to get more pictures taken. Glory to God. Now here, he says, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself thus testified together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. This is when you have given your life to God. When you have surrendered, commit your life to Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God bear witness. The Holy Spirit that comes into us and dwells in us that we talked about every day in Acts 2:38. We get baptized in his name. We receive Jesus. We repent and we get baptized in his name. And the Spirit, the Bible says, the Spirit that we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He comes in inside of us, but now he bear witness that we are the children of God. He convicts us on the inside that no longer that we belong to the world. We are in the world, but we no longer belong to the world. We belong to Christ Jesus. So then he begins to teach us as we study the word of God and we start walking in the light. He begins to teach us of all the things that a godly child should do. This is why when we step out of the light and step in darkness that we are convicted, he convicts us. He don't let us go too far. Some people go all the way and step off the edge of the cliff because they really didn't give themselves completely to God. Because when you give yourself completely to God, you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. That's what the Bible says. You allow him to lead you and guide you. Hallelujah, glory to God. But here in this text here, the Bible says, and if we are his children, then we are heirs, his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering. Only we must share if we are to share his glory. Now, the people we talked about that the other day, most people want to, they want the gifts. They want the blessing, but they don't want no persecution. They don't want to be persecuted for the gospel's sake. Paul would have this problem that he was dealing with. And he begged the Lord, said, I begged the Lord 3 times to get rid of this problem. But God told him clearly, he said, look, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. Sometimes God will let us go through some stuff or have some stuff bothering us, dealing with us, because why? To keep us in check. Keep us in check. If we go out as preachers and teachers and never have no situation at all, you will not have to call on God. Because everything is smooth. You say, everything is smooth. Everything working good. And people say that. They tell, well, I ain't got no worries at all. I ain't got no worries. But I would tell you that I got something that come up. When I was in bed this morning and I was on that treadmill and was running on that treadmill, walking on that treadmill and going through that test, and then I had to go, they put me in this whole body machine, an x-ray machine, and going all around my body. I tell you, I was praying, because I believe very strongly that my arteries are open, they're going to stay open. And any kind of plaque that's trying to build up is going to dissolve and get out of the side of my body. Because I believe in my heart that I got work to do for the kingdom. And because I got work for the kingdom, God is going to keep me healthy to do what he needs done. And I speak in that word. Jesus didn't take up no weapons. All he did was preach the word. The word. That's the word. That's the word. It is written, your word should heal my disease and free me from my destruction. It is written, by your stripes I've been healed. It is written, you have sent your word to heal my disease. You are the God that healeth me. It is written. I got to speak that stuff over my body. It is written. Your word says so. Now, let's go a little further here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus. He said, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. See, we got this hope that we're talking about. Once we drink from that tree of life, we develop this hope, this yearning on the inside to be with Christ. We know that we're not going to stay here forever. I don't expect to stay here forever. I was talking to the nurse this morning and the doctor. He said, you're 73 years old. I said, man, you don't look like 73. I said, I'm thanking my God. You know, I let them know who I am. I said, I'm thanking my God because I'm one of his representatives. I said, and he's keeping me. I don't have all that I want, but I have what I need. So I'm thanking him and praising him. And even in the hospital room, I'm giving him praise. I'm giving him praise. And they treat me with a lot of respect because of him. For even the whole creation, all nature waits expectantly and long earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Waits for the revealing and the disclosing of their sonship. See, we need this thing to come alive. Jesus said the works he did that we should do in even greater works. We want this work that when we go into the hospital that the Holy Spirit shows up in the midst of whatever we're doing or what we're facing. And that while we're there, We can forget about our situation and begin to pray for people in the hospital and they get healed. When the doctor come back and run a scan over their body, they can't find what they had. This is what we want to see manifest. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We ought to have that same power. The Bible says in the same text that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. In this same book, Romans chapter 8, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And if it lives in us, there ought to be some manifestation of his glory working through us, his power and his authority working through us. But what needs to be done is that we got to submit, totally submit to him, give him all of us. Give him all. Here I am, Lord. Samuel says, here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant listens. He said the creation nature was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its behalf, but by the will of him who so subjected it, yet with the hope. God has allowed us to go through all the things that we're going through. They're there. They're in the world. He didn't pull us or hide temptation and trials from us because he told us in this world that we would have trials and tribulations. He said, but he overcome. And we know that because he overcome and we are in him and he is in us, we overcome also. We know this. And we got to hope that he's coming back. He's coming back for us. So we are living our lives so that when he comes back, he will welcome us in into paradise with him. Hallelujah. It's hard to, when you see people that really get up there and they got up there and they become real established in this earthly realm. And because they get established and begin to make big money, because that's what they're all about, they forget about the kingdom. They forget all about the assignment that has been laid upon their lives. They say, well, I'm bishop this body, I'm apostle this body, I'm chief apostle, I'm archbishop this thing. All this stuff they're saying. They talk about the airports and the planes and the yachts and all this stuff. They forget about this, the assignment. The assignment is winning souls. The Bible says he that winning souls is wise. That's our assignment. Not how much money we make. Help the poor, help the widows. I was telling the doctor this morning, he said, oh, wow. I said, we are retired. We are retired. Most of us in our ministry is retired. I said, and we have a lot of widows and fatherless and orphans in different countries, even right here in Mississippi, in Tennessee, in Alabama, Washington, D.C., Virginia. We have people, Richmond. And it's not boasting. It's our commission. And it's not wrong to tell people what God has signed you up to do. It's not wrong with that. You're not boasting or trying to get your name put on a plaque. I'm kidding about no plaque. Plaque ain't going to take you to heaven. I want to live this life in a way that he can call me in when I leave here. And I told my baby, I said, don't you be crying around when I'm gone. If I go before you, I said, just pray because you know where I'm going. The creation nature was subjected to frailty and fertility. But here, look, the nature creation itself will be set free from all its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. Now, no, this is what we're doing. This is what we're going for. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the rope. Now, I know you all that's on this line today. You're looking forward to that day when you will receive your robe. You'll get a ring of sonship. You'll get a crown of glory. You're looking forward to that time. But when we come before the King of Kings, the throne, when we come before the throne, we got to take off our crowns. Do like that. The 12 apostles, the 12 tribes, the 24 elders, you got to put them at the feet, put them at his feet. Let him know that he's the only one that needs to wear a crown. Hallelujah. He's the king of all. Subject to him. Glory to God. We want to get up in that. So we get, oh, I did this, I'm doing this. Man, you ain't doing nothing. Girl, you ain't doing nothing. It's him working through us. Give him the glory. Give him the praise. I can't do nothing without him. But I can do all things that he strengthens me. He is my protector. He is my keep. He is my shelter. Glory to God. Listen to what he says. Look at yesterday, Mr. James ran out cold. Cold. And we get on this here. As a family, we begin to pray. And breath come back into his body. He was breathing. His eyes was open. He wasn't saying nothing. This is what God does. Give me a minute. And my granddaughter sending something here to me. Oh, Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. But yes, glory to God. My granddaughter's trying to get me. Hallelujah. But here, let's finish this up. It's a quick, fast, and a hurry. Holy Spirit, lead us here. My body is so tired. Lord, give me strength. We know that the whole creation, irrational creatures, we know that the whole creation of irrational creatures have been mourning together in the pain of labor until now. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 11. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too. We have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality and the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. We're looking for this stuff. This is what we're talking about. Eternal tree of hope. We are waiting for this because we have drank. We have drank from the tree of life already. When we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we drank from the tree. He is the tree of life. And we drank from him. And he gave us hope. Hope that he's coming back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. He gave us a contingency. Say, we may be also. So that means it's something we got to do. We're not just going to walk in there. We're not going to jump in there. We got to live to get in there. We can't treat our brothers and sisters bad and treat our neighbors bad and treat people bad because they're not saved and sanctified. We can cut them out and talk all kind of, act all kind of foolish way. No, it's going to stop us. It's going to hinder us. It will hinder us. We only want to talk to the ones that are in the church building with us. We call them sisters and brothers. But Jesus said it's us that are not of the household of faith. That coming. How are they going to come if we treat them bad? We got to allow them to see the light of Christ shining through us. And then they'll start, they'll begin to glorify the Father in heaven. But we want to talk down and we want to ostracize them and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to perform the same act that they're performing, but we have to do it. Let them see that Jesus is Lord, that he is love, that he's compassionate. He said, for in this hope we were saved. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? See, we don't see Jesus in the person. We experience him spiritually. When we start to pray, when we start to study, when we start to sing hymns and songs of Zion, we begin to be touched spiritually. And it even excites us even the more. And give us an earnest desire to wait. Hallelujah, in faith for his coming. They said, well, how can you wait? They've been here for 2,000 years that he's coming back. Right, he's coming in the twinkling of an eye. You don't know what hour he's going to come. But we know he's coming because he said he's coming. He said he was going to raise up from the dead on the third day, and he did. He didn't lie to nobody. He was seen by over 500 people. So when he raised up from the dead, it's proven that what he said is true. We can trust him. He came back from the dead and let the disciples see him and touch him. Barry and Thomas didn't want to believe. So unless I see him and see him there in person and put my hand in his side, that will not, my finger in his side will not believe. And Jesus come through the wall and stick in the middle. And Thomas saw him. He said, my Lord. But he said, because you see, you believe. But blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. Yet believe. I believe with every fiber in my body that Jesus is coming back for his church. And I am praying that God allow me to be part of that church, that I don't be left, that all of us, for that matter, be part of the church, that none of us be left behind, that we live a lifestyle that when he comes for his church, that we'll be in that number. We're in, when the roll up yonder's call, you want to be in that number. No. Here, Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. He says, but if we hope for what is still seen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. We're not losing focus. We know what's coming. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and builds us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer now and how to offer it worthy as we are. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleas in our behalf with unspeakable yearning and groaning too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according, hallelujah, Jesus, according to and in harmony with God's will. See, Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit does what no man can do. He does it for the children of God, the ones who have submitted and committed their hearts, their souls unto God. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. It seems like all hell is breaking loose at us. Everything, like the walls are falling in on us, and we don't know. But when we open our mouth, the Holy Spirit begins to intercede for us. He knows. We are assured and know that God is being a partner in their labor. All things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, his design and purpose. For those whom he foreknown and of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning for ordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn, the first fruit from the grave. We now is being fashioned in his likeness. The way we think, the way we act, the way we respond to others, the way we treat others. We are being shaped to be like him. Listen to what he's saying. And those whom he does foreordain, he also called. And those he called, he also justified, acquitting them, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. So you get up, but the more you spend time with God, the more you ask God to clean us up. Hallelujah. Because none of us are perfect. But God is perfecting us. Each day we seek him and we lay our burdens at his feet. Because all of us are carrying stuff from time to time. And we allow people and other entities to enter our minds to disturb our focus. And we have to take those things and just lay them back at the foot of Christ. We lay them right back at his foot. Right at his foot. And we say, Lord, I need to help me with this area. Because this thing is disturbing my spirit. It's troubling my focus. And God removes the stuff. Sometimes he let the stuff stay a little longer than we want it to stay. Because it's giving us growth. You know, we always say without correction, there's no growth. But sometimes he got to let us go through some stuff. So we see where we are. What then shall we say to all this? Is God before us? Who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Psalm 118, verse 6. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? When we live right, when we live right, when we fall in love with Christ. And how are you going to know that you're in love with Christ? Because everybody says, I love Christ. I love Jesus. I love Yeshua. Oh, I love Jesus. As we say that. But does your actions speak with your word, lines up with your word? Because he said, if you love him and you walk upright before him, no good thing will he withhold from you. So we got to love him, and we show him that we love him by walking upright, by doing the thing. How you walk upright? When we do the thing. When we follow the instructions that he laid down here, this basic instruction before leaving earth. We honor the word of God. We obey his commandments. We don't say, well, God, no. You know, some people say, well, God, no, I was going to do that. Because grace abounds, you continue in sin? God forbid. We ought not to. Because you know he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Are you going to continue going back and forth, back and forth? So it's time we have to start walking like mature Christians. Like we understand what God required of us and be the person that God called us to be. If you're weak in an area, ask God to strengthen you. If you're strong in an area, ask God to make you even stronger in that area. The Bible says he uses the foolish things of the world to confirm the wise and the weak things of the world to confirm the mighty. We ain't got it all together, so there's nothing wrong with going back to God and asking God to help us in some areas of our lives. Don't let the devil fool you and make you think you got it all together. And I cried out many nights. Many nights I lay on my bed crying out to God. Strengthen me in this area, Lord. Strengthen me in that area. Says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies? That is, who puts us in right relation to himself. Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? We got to understand, and long as we're walking in this walk, live your life that when people come and talk, say stuff about you. I always tell folks, I said, I'm without reproof in the church, outside the church. I didn't say I was perfect. I'm without reproof. So when folk want to come up with some words saying that you this, you that, man, you without reproof. You got to live, walk this stuff. You're not perfect. You're still making mistakes. And God's still available to put you back on track. He's available. Glory to God. Look at Abraham and Sarah. God talked to Abraham. Had a big conversation over Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham and Sarah still laughing and God promised them a child. They make mistakes. And God said, yeah. He said, son, I didn't laugh. He said, yeah. God said, yeah, you laughed. Yes, you did laugh. Look, we gotta be that child of God that's willing to go back to God and say, God, forgive me, have mercy upon me. Hallelujah. Says, who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Do you understand that God, Jesus is sitting right there at the Father in the position of authority? Hallelujah. Interceding for us, all of us, every day, day and night. He don't stop interceding for us because he knows that we are frail. Hallelujah. We ain't get to where he wants us to be yet. But we're moving to that place. We're not moving backward. We're not moving sideways to the left or to the right. We're on that straight and narrow path. That's why we start our day with prayer. We end our day with prayer. Every day. Start with prayer, end with prayer. We're not giving the enemy no chance to slip in and try to pull us out. We're going in. Listen to what he says. I'm almost finished. I'll tell you how this all slew for this. He's so smart. He's so slick. Man, I could see how he put our Mother Eve in the garden through them changes. Because I'll tell you, when I was at the hospital, I had to go through that stress test and all this stuff. Man, my arms, my shoulder was so sore. I had to keep my hands up and to put that machine was going all around my body. And I'd already said to myself that when I get home, I said, I'm going to come up with something to teach today. I come in that house and I was sitting on the couch there with my baby. I went and got the computer. You know, I fill out the computer. My eyes start getting so heavy. You see, you got a program today? I said, yeah. I just fill it out. I said, but my eyes are telling me to go cancel because I still had a lot of time. You know, I said, go cancel. But then I heard the Spirit says, when the time is right, just turn on the computer. And I got it from next to her. And I know if I lay in the bed, I would go to sleep. Because I'm tired. She didn't live probably sleeping on the couch. And I turn on the praise and worship. I tell you, man, isn't that like the Word of God? And I got some good praise CDs. And I've turned on the praise and worship, put up some CDs on the computer. And my Lord, I tell you, all of a sudden, I came alive. The sleep went away for a while. And we're getting the message in that God wants it. Tomorrow, Apostle will come in back in here, and then I'll come back in. Because I go another thing tomorrow, so I go take care of that. So, the Bible says,
amen.
Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Thank you, Brother Deacon. Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity or distress, or persecution or hunger or destitution, or peril or sword? Who shall? I mean, Paul laid all these things out. He's telling us that regardless of what you're facing, what you're going through, your bank account is shaky. The car acting up. It looks like every time you go to the mechanic shop, you got to go back there with something else. It seems like they can't get the problem solved, and it costs you money. Oh, it seems like you don't have enough in the fridge. You don't have enough in the cupboards. You barely have enough to eat. You don't have enough to really feed the kids the way you want to feed them. You can't afford to pay the school fees and put gas in the car and put clothes on the so much stuff. Can that stop you? No. The doctor gave you a bad report. What are you going to do, sit around the house and whimper? Where you got, the Bible said, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Wait, now get on your prayer. Put on your prayer shawl and begin to go through the house and begin to thank God. I don't care what's coming down. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. The doctor give me a bad report, but Lord, hey, you are the final doctor. You are the one that has the final say over my body, over my life, over my finances, over my relationship with my husband, with my wife, with my children. Oh, God, I just thank you. You are faithful even unto the end. You promised never to leave us, and Lord, we know that you are our supplier. So we thank you, God. God, we're not just coming because we know you're going to supply, but God, we're coming because we know that you love us so much that you'll never leave us off a sin. You got to talk to him. Talk to the Savior. See, he was waiting to hear from us. He says, even as it is written, hear me? Even as it is written, Brother Deacon, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Psalm 44:22. You got to count yourself as dying daily. Dying daily for Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometime I made a bid for a job, big job, and I thought I was going to have the job, but somebody told me, said, don't take the job. You know, there's a lot of people that work in this witchcraft and stuff. You know, the working witchcraft and stuff, and, you know, you have to be in these places that dibbling and dabbling in witchcraft. And I told the Lord, if this is the one you don't want me to take it, so be it. And it's a big job. And I ain't worried about it anymore. Because as long as he gave me what I need to help the people, it's all that matters. I'm not craving for all that stuff. You see, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain and surpassing victory through him who loves us. You hear that? It doesn't matter what we are dealing with, Brother Deacon. Hallelujah. No matter what we face, we are more than conquerors. Finances may be shaky. Health may be shaky. Relationship with your wife, with your husband, with your children, our friends, social, neighborhood. You're still more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. You're still more than a conqueror. Remember I read that psalm in Psalm 146? Where the psalmist says, as long as he got breath, he's going to praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to praise him. No matter what's going on around him, he said, I'm going to praise him. Glory to God. We got to become like that. Hallelujah. Some people can only praise God when they holler. And then when they get too much, when they get a lot of stuff, they don't even praise him at all. They're saying they don't have no need for God. They got the new car. They got the new house. They got married. I was in the church that people should come. We had a lot of people from the armed service. Marines and Navy, the Army, a lot of people, of course, God. And they're coming down to church. Church came from 18 people, too. In a few years, they had over 2,500 people. My church is gone, no more. Because the pastor at the time become boastful. And no matter how fast God will grow you up, you can't forget. You cannot dismiss that it's not you, it's not me, it's not us, but it's God. God always got to be the leader. He's got to be the captain of the ship. I'm just a co-pilot. We're just co-pilots. And once the pastor decided that he's him doing all this stuff, he started to talk stuff over the microphone that he shouldn't talk. Can't even come into your mind. And when he said some stuff over the microphone that was out of, oh, Lord, it was from hell. The church, whole church went silent. And then the next Sunday, the church had less people. And then the next Sunday, people had less. And then the next Sunday, people keep coming again to the church is no more. That particular church is gone. Gone. From 18 members, God raised the church to 2,500 members. We had 2-3 services. Never forget that it's not us. It's God. We're reaching thousands and thousands of people all over the world. People are sending me messages every day. There's not a day that I get off this line that I don't get messages from some country. Could be Germany. Could be Italy. Could be Brazil. Hawaii. We get messages from all over the Caribbean, Canada, all over the United States. India. But it's not us. It's him, because we're preaching the truth. We're not trying to beat nobody down to the ground. All we're trying to do is lift up people. Let them know that they can trust in Jesus. He's one that you can depend on, you can trust on. You can trust us, just like in Psalm 46. Don't put your faith and hope in no man, because men die and they go back to the grave, to the dirt. But put your trust in God. And I read it out in another book this morning. He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. In other words, while he still got life. He said, I'm going to praise him. Short psalm, but very, very powerful. Very powerful. We got to understand that it's God. It's God and God alone. He says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. For his breath goes forth, he returneth to the earth, in that very day his thoughts are perished. No matter what thoughts, what purpose that the man has while he's on this earth, when he died, everything ceased. But when you put your trust in God, nothing ceases. Hallelujah. You can trust him. Hallelujah. You know when you die, he's going to raise you up again. Trust him even to the grave. You trust him. But while you have breath in your body, give him praise. Give him glory. He says, yet amid all these things, all these persecutions, all this tribulation, affliction, suffering, all this destruction, destitution, all the failures, all the perils of the sword, everything that we go through, we are more than conquerors. Paul says, for I am persuaded beyond doubt, I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We got to get to that place. We got to get, all of us got to get to that place. Because what happened is, even as I read this thing, and I elaborate as the Holy Spirit gave us utterance, it will be soon after we get off that I will be tested. I will be tested to see if I really and truly going to trust God the way that I'm supposed to trust him. If I'm going to hold fast to the word of God and give him praise when I don't feel like. I find myself turning in the nighttime and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, in between sleep and wake. Praising him. Because he loved me more than I would ever know till I see him. But I know he loved me enough to take me out of darkness and bring me into his marvelous light. I told the nurse this morning, doctor, I said, look, I'm living with stuff that many people die with, so I praise my God all the time. He said, that's good, that's good. I'm living with stuff. You see, that's he had a, what's his name? He had a heart attack. from Apostle LeGrant Line. He had a heart attack. Went to the hospital, went back home, and was preaching and everything. Then he had to go back to the hospital and had a heart attack. And he was gone. You understand? He was gone. I went thousands of miles over the waters, the oceans, the Atlantic, all the way to Africa. Went all the way over there to preach the gospel with blocked arteries, 75%, 35%. My cardiologist didn't even want me to go. But I told him if I die preaching, teaching the gospel, I know where I'm going. And I'll be dying doing what I want to do, what I love doing, talking to God's people. And he looked at me and shake his head. When I come back, and after a few months, I had to see him. And he said to me that my heart was doing well. But I just went and got that test today because I was feeling a little thinging in my chest, and I don't know what it is, so I want him to take a picture of my heart and tell me what's going on. You know, a lot of our people die because they don't go and have no checkups. They don't go. I have every 3 years or 4 years I go and have colonoscopy. You know, they don't go and check stuff. When that fellow that was a comedian that had all that money, Bernie something, and where he died, was a young man, 40-something years old, got millions of dollars, but don't even go to get a checkup. And then when they found him, the cancer is too bad, too far gone, and he's gone. Now let's just pray. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. And we pray that we have spoken something today that would touch somebody. Somebody would hear this word when we are gone and the line is shut down. They're surfing the internet and they're coming to this blog talk church ministry, and they say, well, the word has touched me, and Lord, I want to give my life to Jesus today. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3 and 23. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Romans 6 and 23. And the Bible also says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest man any more shall boast. This is all the Bible says. Everything has to be done that you have to get to this place. Hallelujah. And Jesus said in John 14 and 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say that he was one of the ways, like some of these preachers saying that there's many ways to the Father. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one, don't care who you are, can come to the Father except through him. Hallelujah. He is the gate. And that other scripture I give you was Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Say that by grace we have been saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus is waiting for us to call upon him. He is waiting for us to call on him with a heart of repentance. This is what it's all about. You must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. He is at the door. He's knocking. If you open, he will come in and sup with you. That's in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. The Bible says that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He also said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's in John 3 and 17. That was John 3, 16, John 3, 17. And John 3, 19 said that man loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Okay? Their deeds were evil. And you know, people don't want to come here because they don't want to come to the house of the Lord and worship and bow down because they're still living and diving in sin. But It's the place you need to come, even if you live in a sinful lifestyle. Come, because that's the way that you can really get relief for that sin. You can get you can come in and repent and give your heart to God, and He will set you free from your sin. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, you can't lose. You can't lose when you receive Jesus as your Lord. The moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you get baptized, you receive a gift. He gives you a gift that no money can purchase. He gives you the Holy Ghost. Instantly, you don't have to wait till next week, the next day, the next night. You get the Holy Ghost. He gives you the helper, the one to help you to start living the life that you're called to live. Then he says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And faith came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. See, this is what we need in the church. We need to have all things, have the same mindset. There's too much of great division, but God is drawing his church together. Even as I speak, God is drawing his church together that we are going to begin to love on each other more than ever before. Unconditional love. Just like he loved us unconditional, we got to love each other unconditional. He said, neither is there salvation in any other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. In John chapter 17, Jesus said, he's having a prayer. He's talking to the Lord, to his Father. And this was a powerful prayer, a powerful prayer he and he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Verse 17, thy word is truth. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself. Jesus sanctified himself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. And then he said to the Father, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. See, we got to preach a word and teach a word that people will believe on Jesus. We can't ostracize people. We can't put them down because they're not walking the way that we're walking. You just cannot be in agreement with their sin. You still got to love them even though they live in a sinful lifestyle. You got to pray for them. Pray for the homosexual. Pray for the adulterer. Pray for the fornicator. Pray for the one selling dope and killing our children. Pray for the prostitute. You understand what I'm saying? Pray for the lesbian. Pray for the one, the gangbanger that killing people in the street for no reason, stabbing people and all that kind of stuff. Pray for the drunkard. Pray for them. Your neighborhood got a whole bunch. My neighborhood got a lot of drunkards. Pray for your neighborhood, the drunkards in your neighborhood. Pray for your city, the witchcraft and voodoo and hoodoo and all kind of stuff in your city. Pray for your city. My city got a lot of that stuff too. Pray for it. And see, he says, he says, oh, my God. And that they all may be one. See, Jesus wants us to become one. He tell the Father, he said, look, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on my name through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, listen to what he said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Something is wrong with the picture. The reason why you may not be seeing the oneness that God is calling for, maybe we have not accepted the glory. He said, I gave them. That's not just for the apostles. That's for us too. The apostles are dead and gone. We are carrying on the mission. We're carrying on the assignment that he gave to the assignment, to the apostles. We're carrying on the assignment. We're in the vineyard. So we got to accept the glory. So Father, I accept the glory that you gave to me today. Lord, I know that from today I'll never be the same. Because I realized that I was missing this gift that you have already released from me. I have not accepted it. But today, in the presence of these men and women, I accept the glory. I'll be one with my brother. I'll be one with my sister. I'm one with you and the Father. Help me to continue to do this will, your will, that men will come and say, yes, I want more of Jesus. I want Jesus. I've been living my life this way and that way and doing this and doing that. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day. Today is a good day to receive him. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Every time I don't even like to watch the TV. Every time I turn on the TV, we get, these people got shot. These people got stabbed. These people, all this, and these actions of people driving through buildings and stuff, drunk driving and all this kind of stuff. They're not promised. Life's not promised for you tomorrow. But it'd be better to know that if you were going to go today or tomorrow or tonight or the next hour, that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. It would be better to know that. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you have hope, like we were talking about today, to the eternal tree of life. You have hope to the eternal tree of hope. This is Jesus Christ, eternal life. If you don't know him today, I want you to say this quick prayer, then I'm going to open the line. Mother Grand's on this, you can read. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you with expectation, a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I believe according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. To Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and everything that he stands for. And today I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. That precious blood that was shed at Calvary on a hill called Golgotha or the skull. Cleanse me from all of my sin. Make me whole according to 1 John 1 and 9, which says that you are faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I accept you right now as my Lord and Savior and my soon coming King. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I will be filled. Save me, and I will be saved. In Jesus' name. Well, if you said that prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. But it's more than that. You need to get a Bible, and you need to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or wherever the Holy Spirit lead you. He just told me that back in 2010 to tell people that, so I just tell it. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of why we teach of Jesus Christ and the apostles and all of these doctrines we teach here on Blog Talk Radio. I want you to look for a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell the pastor, say, look, yes, I received the gift of salvation. I'm studying my Bible, but I want to be baptized. They might say they baptize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Don't get mad and tell the pastor, well, the pastor that leads me in the prayer of salvation, tell me I got to get my past views now. I don't want to do, no, don't do that. Leave on a good accord and look for a pastor or tell the pastor that I get back in touch with you when I get the family and my witnesses to get a call. This is a time that you want witnesses to see, to be part of this great change that's going to taking place in your life. So, right there you want to look for that pastor. When you find a pastor, you tell him, look, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name, according to the book of Acts 2:38. That's what it says. And before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Why your enemies? Because if they're even within your enemies, they're going to become your enemies once you get saved. You want them to know that you are saved, you are sanctified, and that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember when this fella got locked up. He spent about 13 years in jail, and I used to run with him. But when he got locked up, when he got out of jail, first thing he did was call me, because I always had a nice vehicle, and we all used to go, and they call it copping, but it's really purchasing. We all used to go and purchase our dope from the dope man. I used to drive my car. Sometimes I lend him my car to go get the dope, because I didn't want to go. He got out of jail and he called me. I told him I was saved and that I was sanctified, that I was a minister of the gospel. And he said, man, you kidding me, Dave? He said, you kidding me? I said, no, that's for real, brother. I don't get high anymore. I don't get drunk anymore. I don't womanize no more. All that stuff. He couldn't believe it. Well, after I told him that, I'm going to tell the truth. I don't know if he's dead now or if he's still alive. He haven't called me. He haven't searched me out since. And I was still living in Washington, D.C. then. But now we live in Boston. But he haven't called me. He haven't even tried to call my phone number. You know, because you got to testify. You got to let go of all the stuff that's not of God. Really. And some of you are still getting angry and getting upset at when people say stuff or don't say stuff. You got to get rid of that. You're not going to heaven with that stuff inside of you. If people can get into your head that easy to get you upset, you got to ask God, Lord, take away this from me. Lord, I allow people to get in my head too easy. Too easy. So, Lord, I need you to take it away from me. And God will take it away. You'll be surprised when you pray prayers like that. Lord, help me not to be moved by what people say or what people do. You will be surprised how God would take it away. You wouldn't even realize when it's gone. You say, well, by the time somebody acting a fool in your presence and you don't act up, you say, well, I didn't get mad at that person. You don't realize that it's gone. But you all that get baptized, look for a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. You don't have to preach the gospel unless the Lord call you to preach. But what you need to do is you got to partake in whatever going on. Ask the pastor if you can run the vacuum, because a lot of churches got carpet now. When I was going to church, the church had hardwood floor. They didn't have no keyboard and all that kind of stuff, and drums and guitars and all that stuff. They didn't have all the lights and stuff, you know. So, but find a church that's preaching the gospel, the truth, because only the truth going to make you free. You need to hear the truth that's going to convict your spirit, man, to make you live right, make you treat your neighbors as you want your neighbors to treat you. I want you to come on in, Mother Grant. I'm finished. You can come on in and read if you want to read. And then I'll open the line for a minute.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good afternoon to everybody on the line. God bless you. I'm Apostle.
God bless you too, Mother.
Apostle Linda and her husband, respect the Lord, I'm getting messed up.
Yeah, they're not on the line today. I believe they were doing some things.
Blessing to Deacon Frazier. Yeah, blessing to everybody on the line this morning. God bless you all. Yeah, I'm clear. I didn't leave the house yet for the day. I had some electrical work to be done, so I didn't get to because I go and I do silver sneakers. Because I ain't been doing nothing, you know, round and round. But everybody leaves this morning, so the house is clear now until Christmas again. Everybody start coming back. But I giving thanks to God. He's a good God, and he just keep on blessing me over and over again. And I can't thank him enough. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I'll be reading it, say, slander and reproach. Blessed are they when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of things against you. Because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they pursue the prophet who were before you, Matthew 5:11-12. If you insulted of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. 1 Peter 4:14. He sent from heaven and saved me, rebuking those who wholly pursue me. God sent his love and his faithfulness. Psalms 57:3. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your heart. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insult. Isaiah 51:7. In the shelter of your prison, you hide them from the entirety of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Psalms 31:20. You will be protected from the lashes of the tongue and need not fear when destruction comes. Job 5:21. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Psalms 37:6. And may God and his blessing to his word. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mother Grant. That's such a powerful word. Trust the Lord.
Amen.
Trust the Lord. That's what it says.
It's
trust him.
Lord.
You know, it makes all the difference when you trust him. He makes everything brand new for you. You know, you don't have to worry about it. That's what I was talking about today.
Amen.
You'll go somewhere else when the Lord loads us to go there. We'll go somewhere else. But we thanking God for you and for Brother Deacon
Frazier
today.
And I want to ask, my daughter called me last night, was telling me, say she got a friend up there in Tallahassee where she is, asking for prayer for the father and the daughter. It's very ill. She said, Mommy, the daughter says she feels so bad because the daughter and her is one age, in her age group, and she's in the hospital with all kind of complaints, something like, say, how my son was. She say, Mommy, please ask for prayer. Say, for the father. The father went in on Thursday. Let me see if I write it down. The father went in on Wednesday. His name is Carrie Marcus. Carrie. No, the daughter is Carrie and the father is Marcus. The father went in Wednesday, and the daughter went in on Thursday, and it's very sick. So keep them in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this family that Mother Grant is asking for prayer for. Lord, you know who they are. Lord, we just bring them before you right now. We lay them at the altar right now. We put them before the throne of glory. Father, this man is dealing with something. I don't know what it is, but you know what the problem is, what the pain is, what the sickness is, what the disease is. Lord, you are the healer. According to your word, you said you sent your word Oh, God, it's written that your word shall heal his disease and free him from destruction. Lord, we ask you to touch the family, from the father to the mother to the daughter to the sons, grandchildren. Lord, touch them. Lord, we ask you to pour out, oh God, the healing balm of Gilead upon them even right now, God. God, give them a reason to testify. Give them a reason to glorify your name. Give them a reason, oh God, to say that they know that you did it. Not Apostle Callender, not Mother Grant, not Deacon Fraser, not Apostle Washington or Bishop Washington, not Apostle Stewart, but you, Lord Jesus. So we are trusting and depending on you, God, for a supernatural report to come back, oh God. Lord, as you touch them, oh God, you touch them, and Lord, let them see that you are the one that healeth, oh God. You're the one that delivers. You're the one that restores, oh God. You're the one that bring peace. You're the one that bring joy and comfort, Lord. We ask you to move on their behalf, oh God. And as you do that, Father God, we will give you all the glory. Let your blood, oh God, that blood that heals, that blood that delivers and restores, oh God. Oh, yes, Lord, wash them in the blood. Wash them in the blood. No sickness can stand in the blood of Jesus, Father. Oh, God, no disease can stand in the blood of Jesus. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, raise them up now. Raise them up now, God. Let them come out the hospital without any sickness, oh, God. Let them come out without any disease, oh, God. Let not death have any dominion over them. They shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. And, Father, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen, amen. And how are you feeling today? Forget to ask you how you doing.
I'm feeling good. I just had to went this morning, had a stress test, you know. They sent you through a lot of rigmarole on the treadmill and stuff. And then I had some pictures they took me, x-ray my heart and stuff under stress. So now I got to go back tomorrow, and then they'll x-ray my heart when I'm calm, you know.
Thursday.
After I did the treadmill and all that stuff, and you know your heart is running at 100 miles an hour,
they take the x-ray
of your heart. And then I got to go back tomorrow. I'll be calm and walk in there, sit down for a while, and then I will go and I go underneath the x-ray machine. And it takes about an hour. I was less than an hour for the x-ray machine. Probably it would take about 15, 20 minutes and go there. But I'm feeling good. Bishop, he got to go, I think, next week or week after next. He's got to go for the stress test. Thank God. You're going to get a good report about your friends, your daughter's friends. You're going to get a good report, mother.
You're going to get a good report
about them.
Yeah.
You know, God is faithful to his word.
Yes,
he's
very
faithful to his word. Very, very faithful to his word.
My God, he looks so good. He lose all that weight. He looks so good. Every time I talk about him, my heart just gets full to see how he was and, you know, what God bring him from. Oh, Lord. He looks so good.
And how's your grandson doing? How's your grandson Sean doing? Sean.
Yes, Sean, keep him in prayer, because Sean, every minute he in lockdown, you know, every time I talk with him, you know, my heart the same way. I hurt for that boy. He always in lockdown. What's going on?
Acting up again. Acting up.
He acting up, mother.
He in lockdown for so long.
Yeah, he got to go through till he get through, you know.
Yeah,
you gotta go through till it get through it, you know. Cause one thing for sure, you're not gonna get no breaks in there. You got to follow the instructions. If you don't follow the instructions, you gotta pay.
Yeah.
Same way out here. If we don't follow instructions out here, guess what happened? We're going there. It end up in there.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter don't talk, but. She did the other day, last week. She just like she had a break. Now she's staying. She do the school crossing, guys, and she wait to Walmart as the cashier. And my daughter, she wouldn't call the school. She wouldn't call the school. The supervisor keep calling me, And he say, Miss, please, because he's a Christian man. He say, please. He say, that's not Linda. He said, what's going on with Linda? Linda don't do this. She'll call me. Say she wouldn't call me. She wouldn't answer the phone. She wouldn't go to Walmart job. The man was she, the lady who she's go to was a lady trying to help her buy a car. She had to come here. She say, we've been calling Linda, don't answer the phone. And Linda, my daughter, like she's getting to something where she's shut down. Oh, Lord, and I don't know, she's shut down because she don't talk. And, you know, she got them two children. The girlie, ain't keeping a job. Yeah. Every time my daughter got, she have to be doing. And you can't tell her. We keep telling her, well, don't do this. And she do it, and she just broke down and shut down. Every minute Sean calling for money, she asking everybody for money. Said, Linda, I don't work. I can't afford to send no money to Sean. I can't do it. You know, he need to wake and then satisfy with what he got. Because when he was out here, you try to help him and talk to him, and he don't listen.
He's
not listening. And she hurting herself. Hurting herself and shutting down. It's no good. It's no good. Her sugar, she got sugar so bad, the girl on insulin.
Jesus.
And she not taking care of herself because she eat everything. When Linda got all these bag of potato chips and stuff, she said, this is a snack at night. Linda, you're not supposed to have them things. You got to take care of yourself. I watch and see her dropping down any day because she not taking care of herself. And then she is a warrior. And she don't talk. And lucky thing, all the jokes I'm taking back, she ran to work Monday.
You got to watch yourself with that. That sugar, though, she got to watch herself.
Yes.
She better watch herself.
She on the chip, and they're
high dose. The chip ain't good for you.
Yeah, there's a fruit that she can get. She can use that fruit. She can go to the grocery store. There's a fruit called chayote. Chayote.
Yeah.
The Mexican fruit. Yeah. And the green fruit. It looks almost like it's bigger than a cucumber. It looks like a pumpkin, shaped like a pumpkin. And it's green, called chayote. And chayote, you can cook it. You can make it into a drink and just drink that three times a day.
It's not like something I know about. I hear about that.
Yeah, you should get it over there, too, because it's a southern thing. You know, you got it in Brazil, got it in the Caribbean, you know. And it also works for your blood pressure, too. It works for blood pressure, so you can get that for her. And let her just take the, she can cut it and slice it just like you cut your cucumber, and you can eat it just like you eat cucumber. Or she can put it in the drink. And just drink
it. Water and drink it.
Yeah, And her sugar would go away. It would just go.
Oh, Lord. I don't know.
All right, Brother Deacon, if you want to share, you can come on in before we cut out.
Yes. Amen.
Amen, Deacon.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's right. Praise the Lord.
Mother Grant, I praise the Lord. You, Mother Grant.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Yeah. I'll be the glory. You thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for a wonderful day. We just thank God for what he's doing. We thank God to see another day. Another day we will never forget. I just thank God. Give him for one more time. Thank you for that. Thank God for what he's doing. Without him, we don't know what we'll do without him. We thank the Lord. Pray the Lord for a wonderful day. We got to thank him. Thank him for what he's doing. We got to thank him for how he kept us in our right mind. Thank God he gave us a strength in our body. Give us a strength and touch our living our body to keep us. We'll see another day. Glad to thank him for what he's doing. We got to thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for that. We got to keep praising him. Things don't go where all should go. Right. We all still got to praise him. We got to tell God, thank you. I tell him, you know, God, thank you. I thank God for what he has done. I thank him for what he has done or for that. I thought I wasn't going to, I thought myself, I thought that, you know, when I had a headache that Friday, and I knew I had a headache all day that Friday, but the Lord brought me through. But I know when my head was hurting, I knew there's no but God. But I know that next day, but I know that Saturday, when I passed out, my eyes going back of my head, I passed out. And y'all didn't know. I don't know if Papa knew, but when I told Mother Grant about this, but I knew it no but God. I knew it no but Jesus. But I knew it God really is keeping me. I know Jesus. I'm still healing in the name of Jesus. We all are healed in the name of Jesus. But we thank God. You check everything, even though my blood pressure went got high. When it was at 145 to over 98, and it dropped down. Got better at 123 over 84. It got better after that. But see, we can't eat stuff. We can't sit up and eat potato chips and all that kind of stuff and drink soda, pops and all that. Those chips ain't good for you. Those chips not good for it's not good for you because it'll run your sugar up so bad. You don't need to eat no need them chips. Those chips not good for you. Or anything not good for you. Or popcorn's not good for you. Not good for you at all. It's not even good for you. So it'll run your blood levels, your blood pressure up. It'll run them up. So we don't need cause things. Some things not. You see, they salty. You know they not good for you. They not even though sometimes I ain't got no business. I talk about me myself. I ain't got no business eating no shit myself. It ain't good for me. It ain't even good. That's when I drink. Y'all won't be honest. I drink four bottles of water a day. Four bottles of water. And I know water is good. Water is good for you. Water is good. See, since I'm gonna know, water is good. It's good for you. It's good for your soul. It's good for your body. It's good to drink water. Because, you know, it'll keep your body. It'll keep you to be healthy. And even some of the fruits are pretty good. It's good for you, too. The devil used to say banana's good for you. And even though I don't eat bananas, you know, but bananas are good. Anything that's good for your body, that'll bring your blood pressure down. You know, I still drink that hot lemon juice. So I have to put a little in there, a little lemon juice. I have bars on me now. But I put a little honey in there. I don't have no honey. I just put a couple of two spoons of sugar in there. All I do, I just stir the sugar up and put some in the microwave. And then you'll drink it. Because it'll help your blood pressure come down. Your blood pressure will come down. So that's why So we got to watch the thing that what we eat and put in our body. That's why we got to be careful what we eat and what we drink, these beverages, these soda pops. So these soda pops ain't good for you. They mess your kidney up real bad. They sure mess them up. They mess your kidney. So they not good for you. They not even good. That's when I found that out. I had to find out that's a hard way. That's why I drink. I drink cranberry juice are pretty good. Now that's good. That's good for your kidneys. That's good for your kidneys. That is good. The cranberry juice it good for you, and that's why I drink water. Water get ready pretty, it's pretty good. I drink those three, and that's it. We have to watch what we put in our body. We have to watch. Even I know those cakes ain't good for you. These sweet cakes ain't good for you. You know, ice cream, it's good sometimes, but sometimes we all not eat it all the time. We all not eat the ice cream and cake. And I know sometimes I don't eat it like I should, but a lot of times I better don't eat ice cream like I used to eat. Ice cream, eat cake. Sometimes. But most of the time we had to watch our health and our body. We had to watch what we eat, what we put. But you want to eat light, healthy food. Keep your body. That keeps your body more healthy. We'll be thanking God every day. We'll be thanking the Lord that give us that to keep us. To keep our body and also keep our mind, touch us, and to touch anything within our body. To always to thank God for giving us the health, give us the health and strength to make it through. And I just really, truly say, I'm thanking the Lord. That's what I praise Him all the time. I praise. I don't know about nobody else. I praise Him no matter what. We can't even give God. We can't even praise God. We can't even open our mouth praise the Lord. We can't even open our mouth praise the Lord. Can't even give God a praise. But I tell you what, you better praise Him. But I tell you what, if you don't praise Him, the rock on, we're going to cry out. Because I don't want no rock to cry out. I'm going to continue to praise Him. No matter what it looks like, I'm going to keep on continuing to praise Him. I just truly say I just thank the Lord for me being on the church line, being here on the church line. Yes, my mother said she was gonna try to get your phone, get your call, Apostle. She was gonna call you. She tried to call you. She tried to send you a text, but I don't know if you received her text. She tried to get in contact with you, got to call you. When you she was gonna call you, but she still got your number. She got you and Apostle Linda number. But she said she gonna call Apostle Linda, and she just wanna know when you want her to come and minister. I think it was she called you about when you just check on how you were doing. So I just told her just keep calling back. He'll probably answer you sometime. But we just praise the Lord, thank God for another day. We thank the Lord to see the last of this month, last of the month, 12 months of this month. And almost 2022, almost out of here. We thank God. He blessed us. We made it through. We made it. We here. We made it. But those that wasn't here was gone. But we still here. We still here. We still alive. And we thank God for what He are doing. Thank God what He's doing in our lives. Pray God what we heard, and I thank God on the word what I heard. May God continue to bless you all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Deacon.
Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day that you have given us. Thank you for the word. Thank you for Brother Deacon. And thank you, Lord God, for Bishop James and Pastor Linda. Lord, they're taking some rest today, doing some things, and we hope that they get everything done today that needs to be done. And Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen them, heal them, and deliver them and restore them. And Father, even as you do that, we are constantly giving you praise, honor, and glory. because we know that only you can do what needs to be done. We ask you to strengthen Bishop Hart, Lord, strengthen his lungs, oh God, and strengthen his knee bone and ankle bone and back bone and hip bone, Lord. Lord, that he wouldn't fall down anymore and hurt himself, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you to watch over him. Assign our angel Gabriel and Michael to watch over your son, James, oh God. And Father, we are careful even as we leave this line, but not your presence, oh God. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, will continue to rest and abide upon us in surely goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father who art in heaven. That just means that all the attributes of Jesus Christ, your character should line up with Jesus' character. Oh, God, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you respond to people, oh, God, should, oh, God, glorify Jesus. So now we leave here, but not his presence. I want you all to have a great day, a great day, a great day in the Lord. And let God be the one that gets the glory. God bless you all. See you all on tomorrow if the Lord say the same. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.